Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Man, we greet you today in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for his love that we can share with one another. Come on, if you know God's been good to you, make a joyful noise to the Lord today. Wherever you are watching today, let me thank you today for the privilege of your time. Thank you for allowing us into your space to inform your head, inspire your heart, and encourage your spirit to become all that God wants you to be. Remember, you're not watching, you're not with us. Those who are here in this sanctuary are not here for us to be a big church or for me to be a big preacher. We're here to help you become the biggest and best Christian that you can possibly be. Now, that may sound strange to you, but that's the truth of the matter, because it is our job, our calling, to help you fulfill your purpose in Jesus Christ. And we want to help you to be the best mom, dad, husband, wife, brother, sister, grandmother, grandfather. We want to help you be the best that you can in Jesus' name. Come on, let's thank God for all of those who are watching today. I see we're a little light today. I think some folk got up this morning and saw the weather and saw the dark clouds and heard the rain and said, let me go on and stay in this house right there. So we want to say God bless you today too. Amen. Thank God. I'm not mad at you. If I didn't have to preach, I may be staying home too. It was, it's been some kind of week. I'm grateful to the Lord, man. We were, several of us, a team of us were in Indianapolis, Indiana this week for a national discipleship conference. And it was a tremendous blessing, and grateful to the Lord for those who are making the main thing the only thing, and committed to seeing men and women who need Jesus come to know Jesus, and who know Jesus to grow in Jesus. Rooted and grounded, make some noise. Man, listen, I want to say to all of you, those of you who are here, those of you who are watching, how super godly proud I am of our church and the commitment that we've made, the reset that we have made to shift and change the culture of our church. It's one thing to change an action, but when you talk about changing culture, you're talking about changing attitudes. You're talking about changing beliefs. And the commitment that has been made, the lives that have been touched and changed, has been so phenomenal. It has, for me, been the most productive time of ministry that I can think of in my over 40 years of preaching, to see the life change that's taking place, to see people walking in their fulfillment. Some of you have just gotten started. God has so much more, but I want to thank God for you getting started. And some of you have even made that next step. Man, I'm grateful. Give yourselves a hand, if you would, for allowing the Lord to use you and help you to discover your purpose for life. I want to thank all of you who participated in the church-wide prayer emphasis last week. I want to thank Pastor Sloan for stepping in. Man, how many of y'all were happy to see him on last week? Wasn't that a blessing? Haven't seen him in, I think almost 3 years. It was just great to see him and Marshall, and to encourage them in the Lord. I was in Harlem, New York on last week for the church anniversary of the Mount Nebo Baptist Church. Dr. Johnny Green, as you know, will come here for my anniversary. And so he just told me, since I'm coming for you, you got to come for me. And so we went up and celebrated their church anniversary, and it was a blessing to be there. Now, this Wednesday, talking about prayer emphasis, this Wednesday, I want you to get ready. We're doing our virtual altar prayer training this Wednesday. Pull out your phone real quick if you haven't registered for this, or you can find this on our website or our app. We had one training, and let me just tell you a little bit about this. When we talk about taking hope to the world, we have people who are watching in over 160 different countries around the world, and this will give you an opportunity to be a prayer warrior internationally. So when people call from around the country or from somewhere else in the world and they're watching, And a lot of times when we think about church, we just think about, you know, 8 and 10 o'clock here. But there are people who are watching us right now live who are on. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon where they are. It may be 3 o'clock in the morning because people don't see Christianity around the world as something they do when it's convenient. They do it out of commitment. Everybody say commitment. Yeah, they do it out of commitment. And so when people call and they say, hey, I need prayer, or they indicate online that they need somebody to pray with them or want somebody to pray with them, this virtual altar prayer will give us an opportunity to pray with them via technology, face to face on video. You'll have an opportunity to talk to them and encourage them. We're also going to be training our youth in this same vein. And we're looking forward to God blessing in a powerful, powerful way. Thank everyone who participated in the Salt and Light Fair. I think I got the last numbers. We had over 120 ministries that were represented either in person or virtually. As we continue to be salt and light in the world and allow that witness to show the love of God to other people. So I want to say thank you for those who were in the planning side of that and for those who participated. Thank you for your participation. Your project, your service project should be completed or at least scheduled to be completed in the next couple of weeks. And so don't forget to upload and share your pictures and videos so we can celebrate what God is doing in your ministry. And don't forget to pick up your t-shirts. Now, this week we're going into There Is an Enemy in the Camp and Overcoming Strongholds. And one of the reasons that we continue to emphasize this and share this is because if you've done any battling with your strongholds, you know just because you fight them don't mean they go away. Amen. Okay, am I by myself or somebody, can you identify with that? Yeah, them strongholds, man, will come back. And just when you think you got the victory, boy, here comes the devil. And you'll be right back in that same place. You'll be like, God, doggy boy, I thought I had gotten through that thing. But it's a continued journey. And so as we go through our strongholds today and begin our look at our strongholds, you can find all of the information that you need, rooted groups in your rooted books. PDL, you can find it at the hub and make sure you share that with your group members. We have a tremendous testimony today. Is Shaquana here? We ready? Come on, Shaquana. Where is she? There she is. We got a little treat for you. That's all right. She can use my. Yeah, come on up. Come on up, girl. Come on. Come on. Y'all say good morning to Shaquana. Yeah, she has a tremendous testimony. And, you know, we wanted to change up a little bit. Thank you, Elder. We wanted to change up a little bit because normally we do video testimony, but Shaquana's going to share hers today live. So I want you to pray with her and pray for her. Come on right here so they can see you. Come on, let's thank God for Shaquana.
On June 22nd, 2022, my son was murdered in a senseless act of gun violence. And I became angry. Like, I was mad at God. Like, I'm like, who are you to take my only child from me? Who are you to feel like 15 years is enough time for me to be a mom? Like, I was just angry. I had so many questions and no answers coming from anywhere. And so I decided to move to Texas. And unknown to me at the time, God was about to answer every single question I had. I started Good Hope in October, and Sister Whitley told me about I Will. So I decided, I'm like, okay, I'm going to join I Will. So I started I Will, and the facilitator, Miss Lakeisha, Miss Lakeisha was my facilitator, and she explained to me in I Will all the reasons that people don't like leave church and don't finish and, you know, give up basically. And at that time with Miss Lakeisha, I decided I will. I decided that I will give it a try. Like, I will open my mind and my heart, and I will give it a try. So I will became my reason to sometimes get up. Like, I would be like, if I just make it there, I can talk to the people in my I will group and tell them, you know, what I'm going through. After I completed I will, I was excited to learn about Rooted and Grounded. It's like, okay, Rooted and Grounded changed my life. Like, Rooted and Grounded changed my life. I started Rooted and Grounded, and I remember on the first day of Rooted and Grounded with my group, Miss Misha was my facilitator and all of my spiritual sisters, and I remember sitting there, and I was crying, and I was just like, I'm confused, I'm lost, like, I'm just not understanding, like, my purpose, like, I'm just not understanding. And my Rooted group, like, they just prayed with me and just, thank you, they just prayed with me, and they just, like, encouraged me to, like, just give it time, just, you know, just give it time. Over those 10 weeks, like, every week, I just felt myself, like, I just felt myself changing, like, and I didn't even understand it. Like, I had never felt this before. Like, it was scary, but it was exciting at the same time, but I didn't understand. So I remember the week, prayer week, and I remember I sat in class, and I told them, I was like, God, don't speak to me. Like, I'm like, God, don't speak to me. Like, I've been asking questions, like, trying to get an understanding, but God, don't speak to me. And my Rooted group, they was like, again, just trust the process. Like, just trust the process. It's not always him talking to you, like, in your ear, you know, just trust it. So I did my hour prayer. I sat in my closet, and I prayed for 1 hour. And I remember coming out the closet, and I'm like, okay, I'm about to get ready to go to bed. So I waited, you know, I waited. I'm just sitting there, and I'm just waiting to hear from God. And I'm like, it didn't work for me again, you know, it didn't work. And I got up, and I got ready to go to bed, and I put on this shirt, and it said, I got this, stop worrying, sign God. And it blew my mind. Like, it blew my mind. So I got back, and I was just excited to tell my Rooted group, like, it happened. Like, I got it. Like, it happened for me. And so I'm still going through Rooted. I'm going through the classes. And one morning, this is like week eight or nine, I'm driving to work. I'm just driving, and I just start crying. I don't know why. And I remember looking in the little mirror thing right there, and I started smiling, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm crying because I'm happy. Like, I was like, I'm crying because I'm happy. I was like, and I said, I feel myself transitioning. Like, I was like, I feel myself changing. And at that moment, I knew that God had used Rooted and Grounded to change me and change my life. You know, answer questions that I had. You know, so I urge anyone that has not signed up for Rooted and Grounded to sign up for Rooted and Grounded. I tell everybody, I went into Rooted and Grounded confused, with no hope. I did. But I left Rooted and Grounded with clarity. And you know, and then I said, you know, God didn't only give me hope. No, He gave me good hope, and I'm so proud. Thank you. Thank you all.
Amen. Come on, y'all thank God for Shaquana. Man, what a testimony. Thank you for sharing. She has embraced our discipleship culture. Now remember, I made a statement at the beginning of 2023 and said, I want everybody, you have 3 years to begin your discipleship journey in earnest. If you're going to be part of this church family, if you don't want to be discipled and you don't want to make disciples, then I will be happy to recommend a church that will require nothing of you. Amen. Y'all not praying with me. I said I will happily recommend a church that will require nothing of you. But if they require nothing, then I submit to you it's not the church of Jesus, because Jesus made discipleship a requirement. And somebody said to me, they said, Pastor, what do you say if somebody says they want to leave? I said, well, I'm gonna do what Jesus did. Bless them, pray for them, and keep on moving. Because Jesus was willing to let some folk walk away because everybody wasn't ready to follow him. Amen. Amen. And so I'm grateful for Shaquana. I'm thankful for her testimony, for all that she has been through, because she really embodies what I believe the Lord is doing in our church. And we have seen people come to Christ like never before. 42% of our growth this year has been candidates for baptism, conversion growth, which is almost unheard of in churches today. And we're going to continue to press that number, continue to allow God to allow us to be salt and light in the world, right? That's what Jesus said. He says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And he says, when you are salt and when you're light, men and women will see your good works and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. You being who God created you to be is going to allow God to use you to help people who need Jesus know Jesus and help people who know Jesus grow in Jesus. So we're grateful and thankful today for that testimony. Where are all of my birthdays? May birthdays. Stand up wherever you are. May birthdays. Come on, Elder Taylor. I see some others out there. All right. Well, we're singing happy. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, we're singing happy.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh Lord, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, you look good. Don't you know you look fine? And I hope and pray you have a happy birthday and have many, many more. Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time today.
Father, we bless you and we thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight, that it will bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and our Redeemer. We thank you for all that we have heard. And we pray now that your people will be encouraged and edified to continue the journey to becoming all you want them to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in an interesting time of the year in regards to sports. It's playoff season for two of the major sports in America. Playoff season for the National Hockey League and playoff season for the National Basketball Association, one of the lessons that you hear being espoused over and over again by commentators is that the regular season is over. It doesn't matter now. You have a new season that starts when you get into the playoffs. People are looking at teams that are playing, determining who's the best, and analyzing upsets and the like. But at the end of the day, you want to win and you want to hold the respective trophy of your sport, whether it's the Larry O'Brien Trophy in the NBA or the Stanley Cup in the National Hockey League or the Lombardi Trophy in National Football League. Whatever sport it is, you want to be victorious. You want to win. And here's what I've learned in life. People want to win. People want to win. I mean, nobody, for example, participates in athletics, sports, or any gaming event, for example, going in planning on losing. Las Vegas is a city that is built on losers. But everybody who goes to Las Vegas to gamble thinks that they are going to be the exception. They think they're going to win. And so they go in and they play those one-armed bandits and they go to those tables and flip those cards and the like because they plan on winning. My brothers and my sisters, here's what I've learned about the Christian life that is kind of strange. We have mistakenly been taught, we have been duped to believe that somehow victory in the Christian life is to be an exception and not the norm. Somehow we expect to lose. We expect to have to pray from a dark and dismal place and a place of negativity. We don't understand that God has actually created us to win, to have victory. Now, part of the problem is we have misdefined what victory is. Because for many of us, we have mistakenly defined victory as me getting whatever I want, whenever I want it, however I want it. And what we need to understand is that victory in the Christian life is not you getting what you want as much as it is you becoming what God wants. That victory in the Christian life is learning how to walk in a way where your life is pleasing to God. And you can have victory in your life. You can see the favor of God in your life. And you can see how you're making a difference in the life of other people. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to live a life of victory. How to live a life of victory. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need your outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. And you can find our outlines on the digital platform as well. Three things I want to share with you today. Our foundational text is Romans chapter 8. I don't have time to deal with it exhaustively, but let me share with you some salient points and principles to help you live a life of victory, to walk in the victory that God has reserved for you. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize God is for you. God is for you. Verse 31, Romans chapter 8, the ESV translation says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Now, when Paul writes this, he's not writing this if in the subjunctive mood expressing doubt. He is basically affirming that God is for us, those of us who have named the name of Christ, who have been washed in his blood and sealed by his spirit. Paul says God is with you. He is for you. And if he is for you, then nobody else can be against you and it amount to anything. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters, that I've learned in life? Many times we give other people far too much power in our life. We allow other people to affect us and impact us adversely and in a negative way instead of recognizing first and foremost that God is for me, that God is for you. And if God is for you, the text reminds us that nobody else can be against you, and it matter as it stands in opposition to God being for you. God did not have to act for you, but he did. God didn't have to love you, but he did. And God choosing to be for you, he provides all you need in the person of his son and in his presence in your life for you to walk in who God has created you to be. For example, God himself is your assurance. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God himself has acted on your behalf. He has done everything necessary and then more. And so Paul says, man, if God is with you, what difference does it make who claims to be against you? Because who they are pales in comparison to who he is. He reminds us that he is our Savior. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That phrase, spared not, he did not spare, means to not hold back, to give us everything he could in the person of his son. He did not refuse, he did not hesitate to send his son on our behalf. And then Paul reminds us that God is our provider. Because in verse 32, he says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? It's like God says, I sent my son to die for you. What else do you think I would keep from you when I gave you my son? It's like God says, if I gave you my son, I gave you my only begotten son, why would you question me that I would not give you everything you need for life and for living? And then he says, just because you think I'm limited, he says, watch what he does. He gives you Christ as our intercessor. Verse 34, Romans chapter 8, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So he says Jesus did more than just die. And he did more than was just raised from the dead. He said, oh yeah, you celebrate that. He said, but don't forget that even now he is interceding on our behalf at the throne of God. He's advocating for us. He's interceding on our behalf, and he's pleading our case. That's why Hebrews 9:24, let's read it together. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Even when you don't have sense enough to pray like you should, the Bible says the Lord is interceding on our behalf. Here's the second thing if you're going to live a life of victory. Not only do you need to realize God is for you, number two, you need to remember God loves you no matter what. God loves you no matter what. Verse 35, Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul wants you and wants me to know that nothing absolutely nothing will separate you from the love of God. God's love is absolute. God's love is perfect. And there is nothing that is going to separate us from God's love. Now, somebody may say, well, wait a minute. If God loves me, why do I have to go through all that I'm going through? Well, I'm glad you asked. Sometimes you go through what you go through because of satanic design. Remember, this week we're talking about there is an enemy. And you don't have to fight the devil for the devil to fight you. Yeah, matter of fact, the better you are, the more angry the devil gets. And the devil will use anything and anybody in order to come at you. He says, no, you got to recognize. Sometimes things come because they are satanically devised. Sometimes things come because of our own self-imposed stubbornness and stupidity. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person next to you. Right? When we get stubborn and we just think it's going to be our way or no way. And God says, okay, if you want it like that, it can be like that. It'll be no way. Right? And things will come at you that sometimes you cause, sometimes you exasperate. Things will come at you that you would rather avoid. But if you're honest, you got to look in the mirror and say, you know what? It's my fault. Because watch this. While you cannot control what everybody does around you, you've got to learn how to control how you respond to what everybody does around you. But here's what I want you to know. Whenever anything happens, it's always sovereignly allowed. So whether it's the devil or your own stubbornness or your own stupidity, at the end of the day, God has given you free will, and God is not going to make you do right when you determined that you're going to do wrong. See, sometimes God allows it to happen because he knows there's some benefit to what you go through. Look at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Sometimes God just chooses not to shelter you from the difficulties in life because God knows it's in the difficulties of life that he gets you to a place where you begin to spiritually grow. I want you to think about it for a moment. Think about the connectivity between your challenges, your difficulties, and your spiritual growth. When things are going well, you don't grow, because when things are going well, you don't pray, you play. But when the storms of life come, all of a sudden now you start praying like you never have before. Some of you in here have never thought about fasting until you went through some challenging times and you prayed and God didn't answer prayer. And then you saw in that text where Jesus says some things come by fasting and praying. And you said, well, let me turn down my plate and turn my face to God. Some of you have not spent time in your word until difficulties come. You don't have to say amen. You can say ouch, but I know I'm right about it. And so sometimes God just has to remind us that he's working those things out for us. And there are things that we don't see while we're going through it, but we'll look back on the other side of what we go through and see the benefits that God has brought to our lives. That's why Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, let me share this with you, because I've had people and have heard people go through very difficult times, and they will say, I understand the truth of the scripture, Pastor, that all things work together for good, but I've got to be honest with you. I am going through something right now where I don't see all things working together for my good. And part of the reason we don't see it at that moment is because we're looking at a picture instead of at the movie at the end of the story. See, we see a snapshot of right now, a snapshot of our pain, a snapshot of our situation, a snapshot of our circumstance, and we're saying, I don't see any good that's coming out of this. And God says, no, you got to wait, because many times you won't see the good until after you've gone through the bad. Yeah. Somebody said it like this. Said Jesus had to have a bad week before he could have a good Friday. Yeah, somebody think about that for a minute. You got to go through some stuff before you can see the good out of what you've been through. The text says you will go through tribulations in life. That's why Jesus said, I have said these things to you, that in me, John 16:33, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Underline that, you will have tribulation. So sometimes you'll cause it, create it. Sometimes it's those close to you. And depending on how much you want to take on you, they'll create burdens for you that you did not create for yourself. He said, you will have tribulation. What are some of the things you will go through in life? Let's just go through the list that Paul lays out. In Romans 8, he says, you will have tribulation. You're going to undergo struggles, trials, temptations. You're going to suffer affliction. You'll go through distress, suffer and deal with anguish, trouble, anxiety, agony in life, not knowing which way to turn or what to do. He says you'll deal with persecution, to be abused, mocked, ridiculed, shamed, mistreated, ignored, neglected, harassed. You'll go through famine. There may be times when you have no food, or you're looking for a way to find the kind of support that you need. Sometimes you'll go through nakedness, to be stripped of all of your earthly comforts, to have all of your possessions taken away, to be stripped like a bark coming off of a tree where people can see your nakedness, if not literally, figuratively, because you've been busy pretending to be something and somebody that you're really not. It says you have to deal with danger, to be exposed to the most severe risk, to be confronted with the most terrible dangers. Sometimes you'll face the sword, literally to be killed. When Paul wrote this, he was talking about those who were suffering from martyrdom. And the truth of the matter is, when you think about these things and they happen in your life, it is at those times that people tend to question whether God really loves them. Because they make the mistake of equating the circumstances that they're going through with the love that God has for them. And Paul asked the question, what is going to separate us from God's love? And he goes through this list and then he says, nothing. Nada. Nunca. Nothing is going to separate you from the love of God. No circumstance, no situation, no event can make God turn his back on you. Scripture declares loudly and clearly that God loves you. And when he allows those trials and tribulations and those difficulties to come, he does it for your growth, he does it for your good, but ultimately he does it for his glory. So somebody in here, you need to know God loves you no matter what you've been through in life. As a matter of fact, when you look back over your life and you look at the trials and tribulations that you've been through in life, what you need to recognize is that everything that you have gone through has served as a testimony to the love of God for you. What God did not keep you from, somebody can rejoice that God kept you through. What the devil meant for evil, you can raise your hand and say, but God meant it for good. What somebody thought would destroy me, God used it to develop me, to help me become all that he wants me to be. God loves you no matter what you've been through. God loves you no matter what you're going through right now. For somebody, you walked in here today and you look better than you feel on the inside. For somebody, you're watching and it took everything for you not to come to church, but just to turn on the broadcast. And God says, I need you to know I love you right where you are. And just in case you're wondering if the love of God will run out, God will love you no matter what you go through. Here's the third and final thing. I told you, number one, you need to realize God is for you. Number two, you need to remember God loves you no matter what. Here's the third thing when we talk about living a life of victory. Number three, you need to realize God can give you victory over all the challenges you face in life. God can give you victory over all the challenges you face in life. Verse 37, Romans chapter 8, know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. No matter what the circumstances, Paul wants you to know you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Now, here's the problem. Many of us don't walk in that conquering mentality or attitude because we are not seeing our victory or our lives being lived through him, but through us. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park here for a second. It's hard to see victory in him when you continue to live your life looking to yourself. See, when you walk around and you're trying to make it about you and it's self-help and it's positive thinking and my experiences and my know-how and I've got all of this working for me, and God says, no, you need to understand that your ability to walk victorious in life is not based upon you and what you have and who you are, because if you could do it without me, then you would never give me the glory. God says your ability to work as a conqueror has to be seen in and through him based on your love. That word conqueror literally means to gain a decisive victory. It's more than just being victorious. It's being victorious without a doubt. Now, somebody may say, well, if I win, I win. Yeah, but here's what happens. When you live your life through Christ, through the love that God has for you, and you walk in what the Lord has provided for you, Paul says God is going to give you a super victory. There's no question. It's a blowout that starts in the first quarter and maintains itself throughout the entire game. It's a victory beyond victory. What's interesting about this word is it's a hypoxlegomenon. And that's a fancy way of saying it only appears one time in the Bible. And he uses this word for conqueror to talk about the believer and their relationship with the Lord. He says it's in him that we are more than conquerors, that we are super conquerors because of our relationship with the Lord. Here's what's interesting about this. This is not a promise with conditions attached to it. In other words, he doesn't say, if you do this, God will do that. He says, no, this is who you are. He says, and I need you to walk in this. The security in Christ is an established fact, and we must claim it for ourselves because we are in Christ. He says, victory is yours. Child of God, you need to walk in it. You need to claim it. And for some of you, even now, dealing with and battling with strongholds and ongoing issues, some of them are yours personally, some of those that you have inherited from family members and friends who are not thinking about your walk with God, and they're not necessarily thinking about their walk with God. They're just thinking about the selfishness with which they look at life. And they don't care anything about you and what you're dealing with and what you're going through. And the Lord does not want you to give away the victory that he has given to you because of somebody else living a life that's in defeat. Yeah, you can't teach somebody to win if you're not a winner. LeBron James, you remember when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers the first time and he decided he was going to leave, and he did this big show, The Decision. It was a half-hour show to make a 10-second announcement. And he was criticized for that, even though he took all the proceeds and gave it to the Boys and Girls Club in Akron. They didn't care about what he did with the money. But he made a decision to go to South Beach to play for the Miami Heat. And somebody asked, why did he decide to go to the Miami Heat? And he talked about his friendship with Dwayne Wade and with Chris Bosh. But here's what really drove him to South Beach. Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade knew how to win. He had always been a great player, but he didn't know how to win. And so he surrounded himself, put himself in an organization with players on the team, specifically one player, two players who had been on championship teams who knew how to win. And he left there with two rings. My brothers and my sisters, if you don't do anything else in your life, connect with people who know how to win in Jesus. That's really what Rooted and Grounded is all about. It's about a discipleship culture where those who have won can teach somebody else to win in Jesus, to teach us how to walk in victory, so that as we are living this Christian life, we recognize there is no condemnation, there's no obligation, there's no frustration, there's no separation. If God is for us, he is more than the world against us. Amen. That we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And as you go through life, man, if you don't do anything else, rest in the fact that God loves you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. Just rest in the fact that he loves you and he's not through with you yet. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you have provided for us rest, because you told us in your word to come to you, all who labor and are heavy laden, and you would give us rest. Thank you for your peace, God, because you told us in your word, your peace you leave with us. You give us peace, not as the world gives. So you command us to not let our hearts be troubled because of the peace you provided. You have provided an escape from temptation. You have provided comfort in our trials and our tribulations. You have promised to supply all our needs. You care for us no matter what the situation or circumstance we find ourselves in. And you give us victory to live this life in a way that's pleasing to you. God, we thank you because victory is in Jesus. Our precious Savior. And we pray now that all that has been said and done has been pleasing in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.